In 2 Corinthians, chapter 10, verses 4 and 5. 2 Corinthians, chapter 10, verses 4 and 5. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Well, he said a lot, didn't we? But you know, in verse 3, he gives us a key to this, same chapter. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. Which means is, human we are, but it's not through human strength that we fight our battles. Okay? We're all human. But not through human strength that we fight our battles. It's through God's strength. Because if it's through human strength, friends, we're going to lose. We're not going to win. The devil is going to win. We've got to have the strength of God if we will win the fight against Satan. And it's not easy. How many of us have got strongholds? How many of us have got something just like a strangling hold on us? And we know what it is. We're well aware of it. And we fought against it. We've tried to give it up. We've tried to quit. Years ago, a man I went to school with, high school with, just to be quite blunt with you, he was just bad to run after women. He got shot at a couple of times. So I never went to church with him in my life. I don't know if he ever went to church. I don't know if he goes to church. But anyway, he was a friend of mine because we graduated from high school together. So one day I went to him and talked to him. And I told him, I said, you're going to get yourself killed. You're going to lose your wife, which you did, and your family, which you did. He said, well, let me tell you. He says, I drink, and I smoke, and I gamble. But nothing is like this, chasing women. He said, it is so embedded in me. It's got a hold on me so bad. You won't believe. He said, I don't know if I can give it up. He said, when I see a woman, first thing I think about, they gonna go with her? You serious? Yeah, I'm serious. Had a strangling hold on him. And we know, we hear about that. What sent to John Edwards. That's so sad, isn't it? It's so sad. That's why I suffer from cancer. My own president, President Clinton, in the White House. People just do things, it's just you think, what are you thinking about? But not just that. Other things too. It may be something that you're doing, it's nothing to do with that whatsoever, but it's something that's got a hold on you, and you're trying to get rid of it. Well, like he said in verse 3, about our warfare. That we're in the flesh. We don't war after the flesh, and we don't use our flesh. We use God, and that's a beautiful part of this, because it said in verse 4, through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Because of God, through God's help, we can pull down strongholds, and he goes on to say in verse 5, casting down imaginations. Now, sometimes our imagination just runs wild with us, don't it? Because every sin was at one time only a thought of the heart. It's only imagination. Something we thought about. Think about 9/11. That was one time just somebody's idea. But then it begins to take shape. And we have more imaginations. We have more thoughts about it. How can we handle this? How can we do this? Well, I tell you how you can do this now. Probably people got together and conferred about it and talked about it. Casting down imaginations and also casting down every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Meaning that you cast down things that you have more of than the knowledge of God. You've got some things that you know how to do, don't you? Better than you know the Bible. I'm telling you what, I saw a girl over there walking down the sidewalk of Auburn, and she got this little old black thing in her hand. I don't know what she's doing to start with. Her thumb, she's walking, her thumb's just going across that little keyboard. And so I'm thinking, what's she doing? She's text messaging. Oh! I mean, and I'm sure, where her thumbs are going, I don't know if she's hitting a lot of wrong numbers or whatever, but she was going to town with her thumbs. Holding that thing and walking too. She's good at it. I feel like she's good at it anyway. And we're good at many things. But sometimes things just take over our life. And they have this high priority with us. You might be making money. I would say, I've got to make a living, preacher. I know that. But it may be a real high priority with you to do that. It may be a hobby you've got. You may be a big hunter. You may be a big golfer. You may be big into quilt making and that sort of thing. It's got a real high priority with you. And you realize it's become a God to you. You know what I'm saying? You lie down at night, you think about, well, you know, tomorrow I'll be able to first day of this season. And I know that. I've been there. I tell you what, I've been in the woods when it's dark and come out when it's dark. All day long in the woods. Tessa, I'm tired. She said, tired? How can you be tired? You've been hunting. I said, how if I'm tired? Well, I'm working a plate. I'm tired. I've been walking and everything. And we do things because we enjoy it, don't we? And it's got a hold on us, and we enjoy doing it. And we can't wait to go to do it. Strongholds is something that gives people enough good feelings that holds them captive. And sometimes you know it's wrong. Now, there's some other good things that give you good feelings. The grandchildren give you good feelings, don't they? They do. And you know that's not wrong to enjoy your grandchildren. But that's a good stronghold. That's something that you enjoy in life that's good for you. Going to church may be a stronghold with you. It gives you good feelings. You want to be there. You want to see your brethren. You want to sing and pray. Remember Jesus Christ there. But what he's talking about here in 2 Corinthians, he's talking about bad strongholds, things that are wrong, things that you should not be doing. Well, there are different classes of strongholds. Some that we know are bad. Obviously, they're bad. Fornication, adultery, lying, cheating, murder, stealing, illegal drugs, pornography. We know they're bad. Some things are not hardly as bad, maybe. We think about them anyway. We think about missing Wednesday night service. That's not hardly as bad as murder, is it? We don't think about it that way, do we? We think that's not quite as bad, don't we? We think about being angry. It's not quite as bad, even though it may be a stronghold of ours. We think about pride or being controlling. Maybe not being forgiving as we should be. And the others, it's hard to imagine them being bad. Being discontent. How many of us are discontent? How How many of us are discontent? You know, Paul said that Timothy had godliness with contentment is great gain. We're about nothing more, certain we can carry nothing out. And so sometimes we think about being discontent, it's just really not bad at all. Food? Well, I got to have food. Sometimes we have too much food. What about friends we've got? We enjoy our friends. Well, what kind of friends are they? Are they friends that can kind of drag us down? About 20 years ago, me and this brother in church here, we joined this hunting club back in Alabama. And they run dogs and this sort of thing. So anyway, I get around these men and you never heard the cursing and swearing. And I told Donna, I said, I'm not going to do this. I'm out here to enjoy myself and I'm not enjoying this. I mean, that's just, I might have to work with somebody because of my job, but I sure hadn't got to go hunting with them or play golf with them to hear things like that. You probably feel the same way. You may live with somebody that's got some bad strongholds. You ever thought about that? How would you like to live with somebody that curses and swears and gets drunk and lies? Can't believe what they're saying. And let me say something to you this morning. If you exaggerate your lying, an exaggeration is a lie. Okay? Tell it like it is. I know a sister that she is so careful to tell things like it is. It's almost seemed like it's painful to her. That's okay. Now, this is the way I remember it, like this, she might say. And this is the way I remember, and this is the way it is. She's going to be very careful that she tells it like it is. Because we know what the Bible says about that all lives are going to be lost. And what if you live with somebody like that? You can't believe what they're saying. It'd be tough. What about a gossip? You know, gossip is kind of, I don't know, it's something that's kind of catching, isn't it? Because when you hear it, if you're not careful, you'll be inclined to do it. And it may be a stronghold with you. Or you may be living with somebody that way. What about somebody that curses and swears? Do I recognize my bad strongholds? In Luke 18 and 10, we read a story here about two men, the one a publican and the one a Pharisee. In 18 and 10 of Luke, he says, two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. Publican was a tax collector, and they were despised. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up his eyes, so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful unto me, a sinner. I tell you this, man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. Do we see ourselves as we really are? Sometimes it's hard to, isn't it? You ever say something to your wife you know what she said. And you see she's got kind of quiet, and so you go in the house and you say, you okay? I'm okay. Is something wrong? I'm okay. And you think, I better go out in the yard. Something I've said. But later on you find out it's not what you said, but how you said it. You see, you didn't realize it. You didn't think about it. But sometimes you got an edge in your voice, see. You do. And that may be a stronghold you've got that you need to get rid of. Be careful how you speak. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt. Remember that? Be careful of your words. They can sting, they can hurt. It's hard to see ourselves as we really are. In Proverbs chapter 16, and this is found in almost the same words in two places, but in chapter 16 and 2, it says, all the ways of a man are clean in his own eyes. Now, I can relate to that. I can. Because whenever I do something, it don't seem as bad as somebody else doing it. I'm telling you, it don't. Like Donald Thompson said one time, I don't think I'll ever forget what Donald said. He said, I can see somebody else's sin a mile off, but I can't see my own. I don't know if he said that part. He said the first part. I don't know if he said the last. I'm laying the last to it. Okay? The way of every man is clean in his own eyes. And so we want to feel good about ourselves, and so we kind of give excuses for what we've done or what we're doing, and we don't give up our strongholds, do we? Because we try to cover them up. We try to push them aside. But the Bible says, he that covereth his sin shall not prosper. What about my relationships? Are they working? Is my relationship with my spouse working? Well, it's hitting on about six cylinders, but it's eight cylinders, isn't it? You need to do something about those other two cylinders, don't you? I read a thing one time, I don't have it with me. But it said, I'm going to be good to you. Person talking to his spouse. I'm going to be good to you whether you're good to me or not. I'm going to be good to you. I've made up my mind that's the way it's going to be. See, it's easy to be good to somebody that's good to you, isn't it? That's no problem. It's as easy as falling off a log, so to speak. But the real challenge in life is to be good to people that aren't good to us. Isn't it? That may be a stronghold that's got us that we're returning evil for evil. That we're not returning good for evil. That may be a problem we have in life. We may struggle with that very thing. But the good news is we can quit. We can pull it down. We can give it up. We don't have to go on living that way. Evaluate the stronghold against the alternative. In Romans 8 and 18, I want you to notice what he says here. For I reckon that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Now in this life we have suffering. You remember that song? It says, look away from the cross to the glittering crown. Oh, weary soul, look away. So that's what Paul is saying here to me. He says the suffering that we have in this life cannot be compared with what is later on. And friends, we have got to look to that goal in life to be saved someday. I remember Brother Barry Prince talking one time. He said back when he was a young man, he used to, living at home, he had to cut the grass. And he had a lot of time on the lawnmower and a lot of time to think on the lawnmower. And so I was thinking one day as I was cutting the grass on the lawnmower, what is saved and what is salvation? What's the difference between that? He said, well, I said, when I was baptized, I'm in a saved relationship. But someday when I hear the Lord say, enter into the joys of thy Lord, that shall be my salvation. That's the way he was related to that. And so the suffering of this life can't be compared with the glory which shall be someday. And we can't lose sight of that fact. And we can't give up. We can't quit. We can't throw in the towel. We've got to keep on keeping on, keep on trying. And knowing that God is with us. He will be with us to pull down these strongholds that's wrong in our life. And friends, that is so important to realize that God is on your side. He's always on your side. If you need leading done, you'll do it and I'll do it. He's not going to leave us nor forsake us. He'll never leave us nor forsake us. If leading done, we'll be the one to leave. The Lord ain't going to leave us. You know, you hear people say sometimes, they don't go to church anymore. Well, why? Somebody hurt your feelings? Somebody said something? How could you ever do that? God didn't do that. God didn't hurt your feelings. God didn't say that to you or whatever it is. You going to give up on your Lord because of somebody? You say, well, now, preacher, I'd go up and have a gun saying I'm going to shoot you. Like a woman said one time about her, she said, husband told her she's tired of her going to church. Tired of you going to church. He said, I tell you what, see, if you start towards that door, I'm going to shoot you. She said, well, one of two things going to happen today then. If you don't shoot me, I'm going to church. If you shoot me, I'm going to heaven. Change your goals in life. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, in verse 6, Paul said, godliness with contentment is great gain. We bought nothing in the world, certainly we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us be there with content. The faith that will be rich, fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith, and pierce themselves through with many sorrows. But thou, O man of God, flee these things. Don't be a lover of money. Flee these things. And follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Read that list right there. Paul said, Timothy, follow righteousness. What is righteousness, by the way? That's a good question. And what is righteousness? Doing what is right. Sometimes it's not easy. What is the right thing to do? You got a car you're going to sell somebody. And you knew in the wintertime that car, I had a car did this, by the way. You back out of the driveway and put it in drive. In the wintertime, it'd sit there. Like it's thinking. Am I supposed to go forward? Sit there. By the time you catch the transmission, would go forward. Sometimes fine. Never do it. I guess because of the warm weather. What if I'm going to sell that car to you? And it's summertime, you're not going to know it. But one time that transmission did something funny, slipped or whatever, do you think it's right for me to tell you? What if Jesus sold it to you? What would he tell you? He would tell you in the wintertime it's got problems with the transmission, wouldn't he? Sure he would. So that's the right thing to do, even though you might get more money from it if you don't tell him. But that's not right, is it? Friends, I know of a sister one time in the church, they sold a house. Sold it. Sold complete everything. I found out this not through her, but from another person. And later on, she remembered that the dishwasher sometimes overflowed. And she sent this person that bought that house a check for $150. Wrote him a letter. So here's $150. Because I forgot to tell you, sometimes the dishwasher overflows. And so if it does overflow, this will pay the charge to get it fixed. This has been several years ago. And somebody come tell me that about that. that sister that goes to church with us. $150. That's the right thing to do, isn't it? See, that's what Paul is talking about here. To follow righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, and meekness. You know, we get so full of ourselves sometimes. Oh, we think we've arrived. We think we've reached the peak. We think we're at the top. Oh, yeah. Yeah, we do, don't we? If we're not careful, we will. And we don't have meekness. You know, friends, there's one word in the Bible. It's just all through the Bible. You know what it is? Pride. The first sin of the world. That's right. That's why Satan was cast out of heaven. That's why he's in the Garden of Eden. He was full of pride. Full of himself. The Bible says he was beautiful. I believe in the words. He was handsome. He was full of wisdom. Satan was. And so there's war in heaven, and he lost the battle. Remember that about Michael and the archangels fought with him and his angels? He lost his cast out. And that's why he's in the Garden of Eden. And all through the Bible is pride. Oh, yeah. If you're not careful, you'll have some today. If you're not careful, you'll have a double dose of it, too. You'll be full of yourself. Meekness. Humbleness of mind. Realize that what you've got is by the grace of God. What he's given you is by the grace of God. Remember years ago, this couple went with us to church up in Silicaga. And in fact, he's my boss. And it was his wife. And his wife was crippled. She'd had polio when she was small. She was crippled. She's a very beautiful person in the face and all. And I've never been around her much more. He's a new boss. Anyway, and so that night after I got out of the car and going home, I said, Sue, what do you think that affliction she's got helps her or hurts her? Helps her. I said, I agree. It helps her attitude. It does. You know, Paul had a thorn in the flesh. He sure did. We don't know what it was. He had something. The Lord said, he said, I prayed about it. The Lord says, my grace is sufficient. See, many times when we have these weaknesses, Paul was talking about that at the end, that we really give God the glory more and give God the praise more. We're stronger. Well, how can I build my spiritual strongholds? How many of us take delight in God's law? We know it's there. We know we should. But how many of us delight in God's law? So, you know, that's why I don't like to go to church. I get depressed. Because when I go to church, I hear somebody talking about something that I'm not doing or something I should be doing. And I get all down and out. And I go home feeling bad. Well, we shouldn't be that way. When you read down the Bible and teach to us from God's Word, friends, we must accept it. We can't try to change it and improve on it. So in Psalms chapter 1 and verse 1, blessed is a man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Don't listen to ungodly advice. Don't listen to it. Nor standeth in the way of sinners, keeping company with sinners that are evil people. Don't make it a practice in your life. Remember 1 Corinthians 15:33? Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. And you know what? One of the greatest communicators we got today? You probably got one in your home. And it's called TV. And you can rest assured it is a great communicator. And your kids are watching it. In some places, it's raising children. Now, sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Are we scornful? Are we whining? You like to whine and complain. Did you know the Bible strictly condemns that? normas he talks about, as little children of Israel were. He tells how many people died in one day because of murmurs and complainers they were. Tell me something I can complain about. You can't. You absolutely cannot tell me one thing I can complain about today. And I'll tell you something too. Okay? You can ask me. I can't tell you anything you can complain about. I tell you a lot of things you can be thankful for. Oh, yes, I can. We don't want to be scornful. Look at verse 2. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. You know, Ricky said something this morning about the lesson last night about that all-seeing eye. Ricky said, I've been thinking about that. And I'm going to tell you something other. When we think about that, it's going to affect you. We got a song in the book. There's an eye watching you. All along the road to the soul's true abode, there's an eye watching you. Every day, every step that you take, that great eye is awake. There's an eye watching you. We need to be aware of that. We need to be aware of God's law. We need to be aware that we should meditate on God's law. Not only during the daytime, but as we lie down at night to think about God's law. He should be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth fruit in his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. But the ungodly are not so. It's not going to be that way. So friend, if you're going to pull down some strongholds, take delight in God's counsel. Refocus from what I want to what I've got. How many of us talk about what we want? You know, life is unsatisfying as far as this world is concerned. I can tell you this. I can go out there and kill the biggest buck in the woods. And you know what it does for me? I want to kill a bigger one tomorrow. That's right. Oh, yes, that is. He's a 10-point. I want to kill a 12-point. Oh, yeah. I can't. It's hard to enjoy the one you just killed. But I want to kill a bigger one, isn't it? But I need to be happy with what I've got, what I've done, see. Satisfied with what I've got. That's what he talks about. God's with contentment is great gain. Nothing worse, certainly we're going to carry nothing out. That may be a problem with you, that you always, you got the one-itis. What does Sam Dick call it? Let's see what he called it. He says, we've got acquisition fatigue. I never heard anybody put that way before. I thought, that's a lot of truth in there. We've got acquisition fatigue. Because we go to the store, we don't know what we want to buy. I'm telling you, we've got so much. Just like when you go out to eat, where are we going to go? I don't know. I don't know. Where you gonna go? I don't know. Used to when I first met, we'd go out maybe once a year. I'm serious. Once a year. And it was a big to do. Oh yes. Big to do. Because that's something you just didn't do. No. When I come out of work and there'd be stuff on the table. I'd have passed out. She said we wouldn't go out to eat. Because I said, this way, where we got the money? Somebody left you some money today. We've got so much. Hadn't we? Hadn't we, brethren? Tell me about it. Hadn't we? We're so blessed. In Philippians chapter 4. Philippians 4. In verse 11, Paul said, not that I speak in respect of want, by learning whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. I've learned that, he says. I know. Now, do you get from what he's saying that I've learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content, that sometime in his life he was not content? You believe, you see that, what he's saying there? I've learned to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere in all things I am struck both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. Verse 3 of this chapter. We can live through Christ that will strengthen us. Trust in God instead of yourself. Trust in God. In Matthew chapter 11, some of the most beautiful words to me that Jesus spoke, he says, come unto me, verse 28. All you that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart, you shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Come unto me. Come unto me, he says. I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Friends, the Bible is a book that works this way. When you learn of the Lord, you appreciate. When you study the Bible, you appreciate what he's done for you and is doing for you. And when you appreciate, you love. And when you love, you serve. How many of us have looked back at our parents and realized the work they did for us when we were young? We didn't appreciate it then. We didn't appreciate it much then. But now as we look back, we realize what they went through for us. They didn't have the things that we've got today to make life easy and convenient. They didn't have those things. And we read about the love of God in the Bible. And we appreciate it. And we love him. And we serve because of that appreciation. Trust in God instead of yourself. Guard your spiritual strongholds. Guard it. Be careful that you don't stray. And when you see things that you feel like that this is leading you the wrong direction, stop doing it. Turn away from it. Give it up. Quit. Then and there. Don't go on with it. Because it's going to go from bad to worse. What it's going to do. You know it's wrong. You know it's leading in the wrong direction. It may be this little conversation. It may be little notes you're sending. It may be telephone calls you're making. It may be places you're going with your friend. Man told me one time, he started fox hunting. I don't know how many of you have been fox hunting, but what you do is go out there and hear the dogs run, the fox. Well, on Friday and Saturday night, he went with his buddies fox hunting, and they stayed. I'm telling you, people at fox hunting stayed 12, 1 o'clock in the morning, hearing those dogs run. You know, every old blue, and every old trailer, you know, you hear them dogs, whoo, 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 going on. He loved that. People enjoy that. Well, guess what? His wife started going out with her friends. But they didn't go fox hunting. You know where they went? They went down to the joint. That's right. That's right. And he said, and one day, Brother Bass, she got her suitcase and she went out the door and she left me. And he blamed himself because on Friday and Saturday night, I didn't spend time with her. I'd rather go off with my buddies. Think about where this is leading what you're doing. Now, what you're doing, I'm not saying fox hunting is wrong. I'm not saying that. But what about your family? What about your wife? What about your children? Like the kid that said that day when his daddy came in to get his golf clubs, he said, Daddy, are you coming or going? Are you coming or going? Dad just came by to get his golf clubs. See, sometimes, friends, you don't have time for it. You know what he said over in Hebrews chapter 11? Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. Lay it aside. Quit it. Give it up. You ain't got time for it. It's chapter 12. Wherefore seeing, verse 1. Wherefore seeing we're also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. There's things, friends, that are weight. Within themselves, they are not sin, but they will become sin if you're not careful. You don't have time for it. Lay it aside. friends, let me close with this. One of the highest goals in life is to be someone else's spiritual stronghold. What? One of the highest goals in life is to be someone else's spiritual stronghold. Friends, there are people watching you. You may not think about it. You may not know it. But I know as a child, when I was a child, I watched grown-ups. And my antenna stayed up. I'm telling you, when I get around them, I'd listen to what they were talking about. And if you ever tell you don't talk while grown folks talk, then you couldn't be talking. So you can sure be listening. And I would pick up on things that they would say. And I still remember things people said. And kids do it the same way today. Watch what you say. Watch what you do. Watch where you go. Watch how you dress. Watch how you live. Pulling down of strongholds, we can do. As we stand this morning and sing a song of invitation, if you're not a member of the church, we ask you to come today to be baptized. If you are a member, to come out and confess faults, you can do that too as we stand and as we sing.
And oh, why do you linger, wandering from the fold of God? Hear ye not the invitation, oh, prepare to meet thy God. Hear us all in the morning, for your while the bleeding years go by.